and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
With your hands lifted up all over this place, He deserves our worship. We are here because He gave us life. The only reason why we are standing here is because He made a way. We are not here because we are intelligent, gifted, smarter than anybody. None of us are here because we deserve to be here. We are only here because He showed us mercy. He gave us a chance. So with our hands lifted up all over this place. And we let the Lord sing it one more time.
Yeah.
different walks of life. We come from different upbringing, culture, tongue, and nationality. Some have come by water, some have come by air, and some have come by land. With different needs and expectations. For it is written, unto you shall the gathering of the people be. And you said, as I live, every knee shall bow to me, and all flesh shall be gathered unto me. This gathering is not about any man, but it's about you. You alone that is worthy of our praise. You alone that is worthy of our worship. Thou, O Lord, that answereth prayer. This morning, be thou glorified. Show us thy glory once more. Show us thy glory. Now we've been talking about stewardship, and we did establish the principle of stewardship, and the first principle was the principles of ownership, understanding that God owns all things, that the heavens and the earth is His, the cattle on a thousand hills is His. And He did proclaim in the scriptures that the silver and the gold is His. We talked about the principle of responsibility. Responsibility, that God gives you and I responsibility. And that we are stewards of everything and possessors of nothing. And that whatever you have or you own or you've acquired in life, you hold it in trust for the service of God and humanity. And until you understand these two principles, until these two principles is embedded in your spirit and it become part and parcel of you, you are one, ignorant. Two, you are a risk to humanity. Three, you are dangerous. Four, you are arrogant. Five, you are proud. Six, you are an empty shell. Seven, you are sick. I'm not talking, I'll tell somebody, he's not talking about you, he's talking about somebody else. Genesis 1:28, the Amplified Version. Genesis 1:28, the Amplified Version. Can I take my time and talk to you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I need you to have illumination. I did say at the first service that, you know, smart people and people who get education and they are so educated when they are thieves. Before they get educated, they become better thieves, smarter and intelligent thieves. And whenever you get educated or education without God and the fear of God and the revelation of God in your life, you become smart and you can steal very intelligently. An intelligent thief. Become very, very smart in doing evil. That's what education does without God in your life. And knowledge is acquisition of information. But wisdom is the ability to apply or to skillfully and intelligently or wisely apply or use the knowledge you have acquired through information. And so you can have knowledge, but without wisdom, you are dangerous. And you are a risk to society if you have knowledge without wisdom. And wisdom is something that no educational institution on earth gives to. It is a product of the fear of God. And until you have reverence for God, you are void of wisdom, irrespective of your knowledge and how intelligent and smart you are. Wisdom makes you wise. Knowledge makes you intelligent. But I prefer wisdom because I choose to be a wise man. I was telling somebody the other day about a situation that he said to him, "Papa, why are you not doing something about this?" And I said, "I choose my battle very carefully." And I said, "When you see me fighting somebody, he has already lost the battle. If you see me fighting you, then you have already lost because I weigh you well. And when I declare war on you, it's only because you have lost before we started. Because I will always declare the outcome of the battle before it begins. And when I don't fight you, it's because I'm still defining and weighing you in the balances. And there are some battles you fight by time. And some you win by not fighting, and others you win by fighting. And you can win and lose, and you can lose and still fight. It's all the matter of perspective and where you stand in life. And some battle, you leave it to time, because vindication is in the womb of time. And you have to choose your battles wisely. It's not every battle you fight. You choose your battle wisely. And by the time I finished telling him why I'm not fighting this individual, he looked at me and he shook his head. And I said, "That is the only reason why I'm not fighting. And if I don't fight you, it's not because I'm afraid of you or you are stronger than me. I will live today to fight tomorrow. The battles of..." It's unwise to fight tomorrow's battles today. When David was leaving the palace, pursued by his own son Absalom, there was a young man from the tribe of Benjamin who was running upon the hills of Israel and throwing stones at him and cursing him. And one of the mighty men said, "Let me go after him and cut his head off." David said, "Leave him alone." Today is not the day of fighting an enemy and cutting anybody's head. He said, "It is because of my own sin that has given an occasion for this non-entity to treat me this way. Leave him alone for another day." And when David came back, he came to apologize. And David said, "Forgiveness is granted. But the day you step foot out of Jerusalem, you are finished." And when David was dying, he told Solomon, he said, "This guy, when the day he stepped foot out of Jerusalem, kill him." And it was Solomon who killed him. There are some battle you prepare and you arm and equip your children to fight it. There are some enemies you strengthen your children's hand to fight them. The Bible said that a wise man's children fight his enemies at the gates. It's not every battle you fight. And if you haven't learned the ways and the dealings of God, just because you are strong, you fight every battle. It's not every battle you fight. David went to battle at old age to fight a battle he wasn't supposed to fight. And the Bible said one of Goliath's brothers attacked David with a new sword. And the word "new sword" means that it was a new strategy. It was a new virus. It was a new weapon that David wasn't used to. May you never fight an enemy who is holding a weapon you are not used to and you cannot handle. May God spare you that enemy. Say, "I hear you." So we've been dealing with the principles of stewardship. We talked about principles of ownership, responsibility. Today we want to talk about the principle of accountability. Accountability. And Wednesday, God willing, we want to talk about the principles of rewards. 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 God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who do good and those who do evil. He said to Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. God rewards good and he rewards evil. Then the Bible said, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible said, only with thy eye shalt thou behold the reward of the wicked. So God rewards wickedness and he rewards goodness. It depends. There are consequences for every action, good or bad. It will be rewarded. Whenever God rewards the righteous, he rewards the wicked also. If you appreciate and understand that God rewards every action, you be careful how you live your life. But there is a day of accountability, and it is my responsibility to announce it to you. When they summon you to court and they serve you a summons, you sign. You've been served. Tell somebody, you are being served. Because a day will come and you have no excuse. Ignorant of the law is no excuse. My job is to inform you, educate and enlighten you. Because a day will come when all flesh, great and small, young and old, shall stand before the Almighty God, and we will give an account of what we did in our body. You can say, my body is my body. I will do as I please. You are right for now, but there is a day coming. There is a day coming when it will no more be your body. When the creator of that body of yours will call you to book. And you will have to account for what you did with the body you said it was yours. And we will account for what we did with time. You said, it's my time. Yes. Do whatever you want with the time. For now, you are right. But there is a day coming when you will account for how many hours in the 24 hours you were given, you use on the things of God, and how many hours within the 24 hours that you use it on yourself. And we will know whether you were a selfless human being or you were selfish. Selfishness is the womb and the mother of all evil. Self-centeredness. And we will give an account for what we did with skill, with giftings, with talents, and with money. Money, money, money. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, said the Lord. You think you have gold? You think you have silver? And you think because you work hard and you are smart and you are intelligent, that's why you have it? You are joking. It was given unto you whether you know it or not. As a steward, God is testing, trying you to see if you can be trustworthy or if you are trustworthy. And it's just a matter of time. All of us will give an account. And my job is to serve you. You've been served. And a day will come when you give an account. Please come with me for some few minutes to the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. And the 19th verse. It talks about talents that were given. Then after the talents were given, the master came after a long time and called them to books and said, I want you to account for the talents I give you. We have nothing. We are stewards of everything and possessors of nothing. And if all you do with what you have is for you and your immediate family, and it's not for the benefit of humanity and the service of God, you are a disappointment. Genesis 1, 28 first, and then we come to Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 19th verse. Genesis.
And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful.
Look at the reason for being fruitful and multiply. And fill in the earth. Go ahead.
Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man.
That is the whole reason for a man. That is the whole duty for a man. Until you get all of these two principles, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter who you are, you are a disappointment. until you get all of these principles and work them and fulfill them, you were not born. You didn't come into this world. And the day you die, the world will never know that once upon a time, someone like you existed or came into this world. You will pass away like the wind blows. And there will be no remembrance of you. And history will not talk about you nor remember you because you live a selfish life. It was all about you. And it was never about the service of God and man. He said, for the reason for having dominion and walking in the blessing of multiplication and fruitfulness, subduing the earth and exercising supremacy over creation, is for two reasons: the service of Almighty God and the service of humanity. If you fail in these two principles, you did not live, you did not exist, you were a disappointment. And that is what is killing the continent of Africa. Whether it is men of God or politicians, for whatever reason, it's always about us. People are opening churches in places they shouldn't open churches, only to compete with another. Not because God called them to open churches there. I had a cousin of mine, George Lane. He lived in Takoradi for many years. And when he was alive, even though we didn't have a healthy relationship when he left Action, I made a vow that I would never start a church in Takoradi. And my pastor, people drive from Takoradi to Action, and I told them, I'm not starting a church in Takoradi. I don't want strife and conflict. What is it that I'm going to prove? Why should I have a church in Takoradi when George Lane is there? What gospel am I going to preach that is not preaching? And I said, what is all this competition about? Why are we establishing churches? We must win souls. Yes. But if the motive is to prove a point that you are bigger than your brother, if the reason and the motive is to prove a point, competition, and try to outsmart, outweigh, outthink your brother and outshine your brother, the souls you've won for God will be saved, but you have no reward. I'm just telling you, I had a lot of friends I used to move with. Some of them, I introduced them to Ghana. When they came in here and they saw what I was doing, the next thing they did, they also came here to start a church. Divided my church through exposing them to my congregation. And congregation people are very some way. So they follow them. Help them to start their own churches. And I told them that I don't believe that starting a church in Ghana here was the will of God for you. You are only doing it because you want to prove that you are also big. And everywhere I had churches, and I told some of those friends of mine, they also went there to plant a church. I don't have a problem with that. Go ahead and do it. But if your reason for doing it is because you want to prove a point, that you want to be bigger than everybody else, and that is your motive and your reason, it's a matter of time. You will answer on that day. And if you scatter your brother to gather yours, if you divided what I'm gathering to gather yours, and if God bless you in this house for the benefit of this house, and you took the blessing given to you for this house, and you took it to another house, it's a matter of time. You answer for it. You know, this thing where people take their gifts and take their talents, and they go anywhere they want to, do anything they want to do. You can't do anything you want to do. It does not work that way. I'm telling you. There are rules of engagement. There are ordinances. There are protocols. This man is putting me in trouble. He's calling me commander-in-chief. Jesus is the commander and the chief. Father, I did not say it, or he said it. If you don't understand that everything we are in life and will become in life is for two reasons: the service of God and the service of humanity, you didn't exist. You know why we are still talking about the Rockefellers? We're talking about Rockefellers. He gave more than half of his wealth to the service of humanity. He was a tither. Coca-Cola, Coca-Oat was a tither. The business is still moving on. They are dead and gone. And it's a transgenerational blessing. The business is still moving. Colgate, they were Titus. You know why there are no second, third generation wealth in Africa and in Ghana? Because the fathers and those who came into money had no clue and understanding that wealth is not for personal use or gain, but is for the service of God and the benefit of humanity. That talents and giftings and those in politics, that power is not for revenge and power is not to settle scores, but power is for transformation. Until you have that understanding, you are a risk to national development and progress. Everybody wants to go into politics. Everybody wants to go into business. Everybody wants to have money. What is the reason and the motive? And when you ask them, they don't even know why. They feel that going to politics or business makes you wealthy and they want to be rich. The Bible says, seekest thou greatness for thyself? Seek it not. Look at it, find it for me. Seekest thou greatness for yourself? Seek it not. If you are looking for greatness, you want to be great for you, the Bible says, don't do it. Seek it not. And there are people who want to be big. They want to be loaded. They want to be moguls. And they don't even know why. Seek it down. Greatness for thyself. Seek it not. Go ahead.
And seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not.
Simple.
For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest.
He said, are you seeking great things for yourself? Self, 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 self. Me, me, me. I. That was the problem of Lucifer. I will exalt myself above the north. I will exalt my throne above the throne of the Most High. I will. And God said, you will go down. For the creation cannot be greater than the Creator. And God said, I will bring you down to hell. And it's not just in business, nor in politics, or the market. It's in the church. There are too many selfish people in the church. Too many selfish men of God. Too many gifted people. I fear gifted people in the church. Pastors who are gifted. Prophets who are gifted. Teachers that are gifted. They are very dangerous people. They can twist the scriptures to manipulate people for their personal gain. You can get away with it. But it's a matter of time. There's a day of reckoning. And you think you are winning. You know, when people get away with things, they become very good at it. And the devil deceives them to believe that even lie is true. Because they've gotten away with so much that you become good at it. Keep going on. There's a day. A day is coming. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you have two kids. You said you have more than five houses and investment here and there. Why are you still interested in amassing wealth? Why don't you use the rest of your life to amass wealth for the kingdom, the church? And the benefit of humanity, and do something that you will be remembered after you have gone, that men will pass by and say, oh, see, Masi did so, so, and so. The houses you leave for your kids, you will not be remembered for that. That is your reasonable service, to do things for your kingdom, your children. But it is what you did for God that will give you eternal mileage. And it is what you did for the benefit of humanity and not yourself that shall cause posterity to remember you. And if you want to rise up on the right side of victory and not on the wrong side of victory, it has to do with what you do for the benefit of others and not your personal benefit. Put your hands together and give God praise. Matthew 25 and 19.
After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them.
And what?
Reckoneth with them.
He did what? After what? A long time, the Lord of
those servants
did what?
He came and reckoned with them.
He will come. He will come. Tell somebody, your master is coming. He's coming. Tell somebody, your boss is coming. Or tell someone, the boss is coming. The master will come. It does not matter how long it takes. He will come. And he will come. Maluma kawata lahas. Idaluka damahadula wahasa. Ikedula wahasi dabahans. Malayan dakumbi digaduli wirikita lahasia. On that day men will know. Men will know that I, the living God, I speak what I mean and I say what I'm committed to. And that I will do my biddings and all my counsel shall stand. What did I not say in the beginning? From dust camest thou, man, and unto dust shalt thou return. And who has been able to change my decree or my utterances? For I am the Lord, and I say it, and it cometh to pass, and my counsel shall stand. And have I not said that as long as I live, unto me shall every knee bow, and that all flesh shall come unto me? I am the Lord, I change not. You live in time, and I live in eternity. Your time means nothing to me, said the Lord. And the hour shall come when all flesh shall answer to me. And on that day shall the humble and the proud all stand together in my presence. And no one will mean anything on that day in my presence. For if anyone wants to be relevant in this life and on that day, then humble yourself, said the Lord, humble yourself. Take heed to my sayings. Take heed to my sayings. Do my biddings, for the hour shall come, said the Lord, when all flesh shall know that I am the Lord. For have I not said that the life of a man does not consist by the abundance of things that he possesses? Have I not said that the life of a man is like the flower that fades away, and yea, like the grass of the fields that withers? And like the grass upon the housetop that withers before it takes root. Yea, seek me. Humble yourself. Walk in my ways. For I am God. I've seen the rising and the fallings of kings and nobles and kingdoms. For they have come and they pass away. Study history. Learn of the Grecian Empire and the Roman Empire. For they were great in their day. And yea, they passed away soon, and they were gone, and they are forgotten, and they don't exist anymore. And some have come and have not learned from history, and are repeating the ways and the same things that those who passed away did, and they shall also pass away. But the heavens and the earth may pass away, but I remain the same, because I created them all, and I am the Lord. Put your hands together. Give God praise, somebody. You know, I pity people, you know, I really do. I pity people, and I pity people when they get some small power and influence and position and office. They want to, you know, raise their shoulders and they want to show that they are power. Your power has an expiry date. So tell somebody, take it easy, take it easy. Tell somebody, I know you are very connected. I know you are connected. Tell somebody, I know you are loaded. And I know you have access. But take it easy. Because it is written. Have you not heard? Have you not been told? And have you not read that once it was spoken that power belonged to God? And twice it is proclaimed that power belongs to God. That God is the source of all power. So I know you are very secured, but take it easy. Take it easy. Because all other ground the sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My faith is built on nothing else but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest faith, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, that's all. Let rock I stand. The ground is sinking sand. Matthew 25 and 19. The Lord of the servants came.
And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and
reckoneth
with them.
After a long time, it doesn't matter how long it takes. Sometimes God gives you a long rope. I always tell my children, sometimes when people fool around with me and betray me and do crazy stuff and they come back and I forgive them, I say, Papa, why are you so forgiving? You are giving people chance. You let people misbehave. And I say, you don't get it. I say, you don't know me. You don't get it. My principle is very simple. Give a man a long rope and he will eventually hang himself. Simple. Lift up your hand and say, I will not die prematurely, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Say, those who have ill thoughts, ill will towards me, it will turn on them. Say, I would outlive all those who imagine my demise. I will outlive them all. By the power of Jesus' name, amen. Luke 16, 1 and 2. Luke 16, 1 and 2.
And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward.
A steward.
And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods.
Wasted. Don't waste his goods. Oh. You have goods. It's not yours. And somebody needs to tell you. Because this abuse of power in Africa and abuse of goods and wealth, we need, or if Africa, if this continent and Ghana is going to go forward, if this continent is going to be transformed and come into its golden age, where laws will work and where systems will work, where the poor and the rich will all be treated the same by law, where the rule of law will be expected, respected, where people will not hide under the law to victimize people, to use the very law, democracy, and the constitution to afflict and victimize people. But everybody will be treated fairly, irrespective of what kind of political persuasions you have. That every citizen of Ghana will feel safe no matter who comes and who goes, like the things in the West. We are not going anywhere. Will still be the third world country, even though God didn't create first, second, and third world. Go ahead.
And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee?
God is hearing, oh. Tell someone, God is hearing. For it is written, he that made the ears, will he not hear? And he that created the eyes, will he not see? God sees and he hears. But he's long suffering. And it's a matter of time. And everybody who abuses privileges and wealth and goods and power and influence and access shall give an account. When you are dealing with people, especially when you have influence and goods at your disposal or power, you have to be very, very careful. I am very careful how I treat people. And when you hear that Papa has cut somebody off, it is only because I've gone the extra mile. That is it. If you have cut somebody off, I've gone the extra mile. I can bend and bend and bend till it hurts. And the day I say it's finished is because I have clearance in the spirit. And there's a time that God himself, I pray for people, intercede for people, and the Lord will say, don't pray for them, don't intercede for them, never bring them up before me. And I back off. And I know they've crossed a line. And there's an extent to which you can cross a line when you decide to be rebellious and stubborn over and over again and arrogant and stubborn. You can cross a line, and at that point, Elohim, the Bible says, he who observe lying vanities forfeit their own mercies. There is a point you come to where you forfeit your mercies because you choose to believe a lie. Go ahead.
And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer, thou mayest be no longer steward.
People shall be stripped, and what they have will be taken from them. That day is coming. Stripped. Because you weren't a good steward. You didn't handle it well. You didn't manage it well. I pray that that will not be your portion. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, quickly, please.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat
of
Christ.
Some must appear. Some.
No.
But what?
All.
All includes you and I. Are you hearing me? All includes you and I. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment here is not for unbelievers. This is for Christians. And this one is not about salvation. It's about stewardship. Yes, it's about stewardship. We will all appear to give an account of our stewardship. That's what this is about. Go ahead.
That everyone may receive the things done in his body.
You think your body is yours? You can do whatever you want to do with your body. You can shoot anything into your body, inject anything in your body, smoke anything, sleep with anything, lie with anything, because it's your body. A day is coming and you will realize that the body you thought is yours is not yours and was never yours. The owner of it will ask, and you have to account for everything you did in your body. But if you are forgiven here and you make it right here, they won't ask you when you get there. So make it right here. Amen. Go ahead.
According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
Whether it be good or bad, there is a reward. There are consequences for everything, good or bad. The reason why people take a lot for granted and just think they can do anything and get away with it is because, especially in Africa, we weren't trained with understanding of consequence. We don't use seatbelt. We don't use seatbelt. I watch children, friends, loved ones, they go to the West, Europe, America, they use seatbelt. As soon as they get to Kotoka International Airport, a spirit of insanity hits them and injects them. And right from the airport, they won't put on their seatbelt. And nobody arrests them. There are no consequences. People break rules and laws of the electric light is red and sham. They do whatever they want to do. That is man. But God does not overlook things. You think he overlooks? It's all gone on record. A day is coming, the books shall be open, and we stand before him. And I'm telling you, because you can make it right here. You can make it right. You can. Watch your actions. Treat your wife right. Treat her right. Treat your husband right. You treat each other right. It's a blessing. Every man's need is respect and honor. Every woman's need is attention, security, and love. That is a need. And you can say the two is one, but if you disrespect and dishonor your husband, you are in breach of the law. And if you are a man You don't give your wife attention. You don't secure her. You don't love her. Because you are busy. You are the CEO. You're the big man. You see, you're the man. You're having meetings. Invested are in town. Always having lunches and dinners. Coming home late. No attention. Just give her a car and give her money. She didn't marry a car. She didn't marry money. She married a man. And you become so busy right now that you don't have time to give her attention. You don't secure her. You don't love her. You are also in breach. And there are consequences for it. And the marriage may fall apart. But whoever was the reason and the cause of it, we'll deal with it. We'll give an account for it. Listen, there's nothing we do that we go free with it. Nothing. It's very serious. You say, well, I'm respecting and honoring him and he's not loving me and securing me and giving me attention. That's none of your business. You do your part and let God deal with him. There are men who disrespect their wives and there are women whose mouth is too... I'm not talking to anybody here. This is not for any one of you here. You are all angels. Clap for yourself. You are all angels. First Corinthians 3:13, and then let's close. First Corinthians 3:13.
Every man's work shall be made manifest.
Every man's work shall be made manifest. Every man. That includes women. Every man's work shall be made manifest. And this is not talking about preachers. Don't think it's just me. This is talking about every believer. Every believer's work shall be made manifest on that day. You've been saved. Go ahead.
For the day shall declare it.
The day shall declare it. Hear me. There is a day. And that day, none of us will escape that day dead or alive. There is a day when every believer shall stand before the throne and we all shall give an account of our attitude and our actions and our motives and the works we did for God and how we did it. Now see it. Read.
Because it shall be revealed by fire.
It shall be revealed by fire.
And the fire shall try every man's work.
Every man's work shall be tried by fire.
Of what sort it is.
Of what sort it is. That is where motive shall be revealed. And whether you did it for the glory of God, for the glory of man, or you did it for recognition or attention. That's why in this church, you know, we don't have special seats for some special people. You know. I mean, I think we should have a place for elders and deacons and deaconess. It's something we must do, but as of now, we don't do that. And people you see sitting up there, they have responsibility. They are not just sitting there. They have things to do. You sit there when you have something to do. You know. But I don't give you a special place to sit because you contribute some special money. No, everybody sit anyway. Where you sit, you sit. You come early, you sit there. You know. And I think we should have some elders and deacons and make sure we give them a place to sit. It's important we do that. But we don't do it. We haven't done that yet. Even without that, they criticize action. And when you hear some of the people say about me and this church, sometimes I just look at it and I've just come to the conclusion that Ghanaians just have a special ministry of misrepresenting people and lying. We have a special anointing. It's a national curse. If you hear what people say about you, you'll be surprised. I met somebody in Abidjan some years ago at the airport and he greeted me and I greeted him and he said, I've heard a lot of interesting things about you. And I said, very, very good. I've also heard a lot of bad things about you. And he looked at me some way. He was shocked. And I was very bold about it. He didn't say anything. He just backed off. He thought he was just coming to intimidate a poor man. And I just said, hey, you've heard things about me. Me too. I've heard some terrible, damaging things about you. I knew he didn't like that one. And that's the way Ghanaians we are. You want to let you hey, very, very bad thing. Hey, very, very bad. That is who we are in this country. There's a ministry in this country called the Ministry of the Brigade of Liars. It's a special man. I don't know who their minister is yet. They are invisible people. You don't see them, but they exist. By the time they finish you, nobody will listen to you. It's very scary, I'm telling you. I've been to a few presidents in the past to intercede for some people, and the kinds of they will poison the president and inject him with a virus that even you that is going to plead for somebody, you have to be very anointed and very confident, because by the time the president tells you one thing, that do you know about this, that he's been told, by the time he fires one or two things, it will dismantle everything, and you are not sure whether you are standing on earth or you are hanging in the air. I'm telling you. So these days, I'm very careful before I go and intercede. I have to check and be very sure, because people can also set you up. Hey! And some people too, they won't tell you all the truth. And you come back and say, the old man said this and that and that. And he said, oh, this one is not true. And I said, give me evidence. It's very serious, though. It's very scary. This country, we are very blessed, but we are also very dangerous people. I'm just telling you. I went to Amsterdam some years ago, and I was living in a hotel right at the airport. And a Nigerian woman came to see me, and he said, I hear you are a Ghanaian. And I said, yes, mama. He said, can you please pray for your Ghanaians? And I said, why? He said, two ladies fought here, and one of them went and reported to the authorities that all the people working here don't have papers. And one morning, the authorities came and arrested everybody and sent them all to Ghana. And she did that so they will give her a stay at the expense of innocent people. And you think it's a blessing? It will attract a curse. Hey! People went to work, left their children and their husband, and never came home again. And they were deported to Ghana so that you can get a stay. And you think it's a blessing? It is a curse. It's a matter of time. And one day you say, why me? What have I done? Why me? What have I done? Somebody went because of what you did. And say, oh God! And don't even know that you have done anything. And that tears and that cry has attracted a curse on you and on your children. Listen, folks, we have to be careful. This life, you have to be very careful that you are not making it at the expense of the pain and the sufferings of the masses. Put your hands together and give God praise. Finish it, Bishop.
If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
So even your salvation, you yourself. So you see, let me tell you something. One of the reasons why I don't like awards, and I'm not against awards, I think it's a good thing that we honor people. But I have many failures and regrets in life than successes. And one of the things that they do when you are receiving an award is to tell all these nice things about you. Everybody clap about you. Everybody look up to you. This great woman. Me, I don't like that. I've had a lot of regrets in life. Lots of misfortunes in life than successes. And every success I have is a result of a misfortune and some of the adversities of life. I've learned from setbacks and disappointments and regrets. And I've improved on myself, bettered myself through some of the mistakes and errors of life. And that is the reason why I don't like our world. Because you go and stand there, they will say all these nice, beautiful things about you. But they never say some of the things that were off. And you know what I'm really looking for is one thing. 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians 4:5.
Therefore, judge nothing before the time.
Don't judge before the time.
Until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts.
The counsels of the heart is the motives of men. Motives. Hidden things. It will come to the light. Go ahead.
And then shall every man have praise of God.
And then shall every man have praise of God. That is what I'm really looking for. The praise of God and not of men. Because men can sing your praise. They can sing of your praise. Say all these good things about you. Only God knows who you are. And there are 419s in the church. 419s in this life. They can perform and they can so do it that you can't catch them. But on that day, nothing can be hidden. Everything will come to the light. And on that day, I want to hear thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear, and you were successful, and you were big, and you did this, and you did that. I don't want to hear all those things. I was telling you at the first service that I used to visit a place in America. The guy had 30,000 people Sunday morning. Huge church. It was like a stadium. Huge. And I used to go there and I was trying to build relationship, but he wouldn't respond. Because he was big, very big. You know, and when you deal with people based on material goods or influence or power, and you mishandle, mistreat people, despise people, look down on people, you have a problem and you are sick. That was an epidemic. We are a problem. But anyway, he had a problem. And his church moved from 30,000 to 3,000 people. Then I went to visit. We had a meeting. And the meeting was in his church. I was sitting there and the son came to me and said, Archbishop, my father wants to see you. And I went to see him, sat down, chatted, talked. And Pastor Paula came in with chat. And he said to me, Archbishop, do you think I can ever come back? Is there hope for me? I said, oh, yeah, there is hope for you. But I said, this time around, you can't do it the way you were doing it before. You have to change. You can't do it through social media. You can't do it by systems. You can't do it by media. You can't do it by the way you were going about it. You have to go the supernatural. You have to go another route. I knew he wouldn't make it because his response was very, very clear. I knew. I think he just wanted me to prophesy something. And I don't prophesy like that. A few months ago, I heard that he was dead. He lost everything. On this note, I'm declaring a fast from tomorrow, and I'll tell you why. 7 is a number of rest. God rested on the 7th day. The ark rested on the 7th day of the 17th month of that year. 7 stands for rest. It also stands for the end of a cycle. Now it's very, very important for you to understand the dynamics and the rules of engagement. I remember during the time of the election, a lot of prophets, genuine and false prophets, kept saying, by September, they will know the mind of God. By September, they will know the mind of God. And people were asking, Papa, why September? And I said, you don't get it. September is the month of birthing. And whatever was planted or was sown in the beginning of the year comes into full term in September. So by September, good and bad readers will all pick up the signals. And September is the January calendar for the Jews, the original calendar. Therefore, there are things we must do. We must declare that all strange happenings, negative currents, and happenings in our lives, as July comes to an end, let every one of those things come to an end. You didn't hear me. And 8th month of the year, which is the month of new beginnings, that we will proclaim a and enforce the law of new beginnings come 1st of August. That as we enter August, there will be new beginnings in our lives. We will see new things in every area of our lives. But hear me. This thing don't just happen because you have a good heart and you're a good person. I've seen too many good people die prematurely. I've seen too many bad things happen to too many good people right in this church, under my watch, because they won't listen. They won't listen. They think that being good is enough. Being good is not enough. Satan is the God of this world. God is not in charge of this world. So stop being fooled. Satan is. Adam ceded the dominion mandate that God gave to man to Satan. To Satan controls this universe. If you don't know, I'm telling you. And we override him by the law of intercession. And we do not. Somebody say, Papa, ask for you prayer. Everyday prayer. When are we going to stop praying? When are we going? Listen to me. Hear me. Intercessors do not pray according to time. They pray until something happens. And the Bible says, ye that make mention of the Lord, hold not your peace. Give him no rest until the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some victories I'm yet to see. There are some breakthroughs I'm yet to see. There are some victories I must have. There are some contention that must cease. Ah, you didn't hear me. And I will not hold my peace. And I will not pray according to time. I will continue to pray without ceasing until I see 100% victory over situation, until I see every single sister in this church marry, until I see every barren woman give birth to children, until I see every sick person heal, until I see the unsaved saved, until I see the wealth of the wicked transfer into the hands of the righteous, I will not hold my peace by day, I will not hold my peace by night, for true intercessors don't pray according to time. They pray until something happens. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you hear me, lift up your hand, shout yes. Sit down for 2 minutes as I proclaim these scriptures. Come with me to Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Luke 22, 31 and 32.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Church, I want you to hear me. The only thing that overrides Satan's desire for you and I, and his plan for you and I, is prayer. That's it. It's not wisdom. So you wisdom preachers, and you motivational preachers, hear me. Your argument does not hold. Jesus said, Peter, that word he has desired you means he asked for you. He came for permission. Some of you, the enemy is looking for an occasion. He's looking and seeking for an occasion to strike you. It also means he has an agenda and a plan for you and I. He has a plan for this house. If he had his way, he will hurt us badly. If he had his way, he will kill. One time I was traveling and there were some situations happening. And somebody who was traveling with me said, Papa, what do you think is going on? And I said, that is the enemy. It's the threatenings of the enemy, but he doesn't have the mandate. He has the mandate to have my life. For I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am the redeemer of the Lord. And I am sealed by the spirit of promise against the day of redemption. He can try, but he doesn't have the mandate. Let the enemy be deprived and be denied of the right life. He doesn't have the mandate. But he has a plan. And the reason why, most times, the purposes of God are heard is because people imagine and think that I've heard all these prophecies. Every prophecy is conditional. It's not automatic. It's conditional. You have a role to play. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and verse 6. See something here.
And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it.
This is Satan speaking. Satan talking here. He said, glory, power, and kingdom was delivered unto me over this world. The kingdoms of this world, the dominions of this world, the glories and the powers of it was delivered unto me. They are mine. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. Who gave it to him? Not God. Adam ceded it to Satan. And he uses it to fight the will and the plan of God for your life and mine and the life of your kids. It doesn't matter the intentions you have about your kids or yourself or your family or your loved one. Satan has an intention. One of my spiritual daughters went and did a test and they said she had cancer. And when she called me, I said, no! I said, don't accept it. I said, it's a demonic diagnosis. I said, they've injected something into the scan machine. I said, we curse it. We squash it. We reject it. That is not your portion. And I said, we are going to pray. Anoint your breast. Go to another place for a second opinion. We bind that demonic diagnosis. She went to a second place. They checked her. And she was cancer free. Hear me? Bishop Johnny, tell us of the testimony. Give him a microphone. Tell us of the child who had cancer. And the parents came here. And I sent it to go to them. Tell us.
It's a very tremendous testimony. A parent came here a number of weeks ago to come and seek Papa. She said she just can't give up because the God of this house and the God of Papa will not disappoint her. She came, they prayed tremendously, and Papa sent her back. The husband also came, they prayed. The child had been diagnosed of cancer and it was actually terminal. So many things have gone. They did all kinds of things. Anytime they gave her blood, the blood got stored up in the stomach and she was just going. They did an operation. The whole thing just scattered just like that. So Papa prayed, gave them direction, dealt with everything. And then later he sent me to just go check on them. I went there, saw the situation. They went to hospital and they checked. And today that child is cancer free. The results and everything are there. And they hope to come to town and the scan results and everything will be shown. The child is cancer free.
I declare you are free from every curse. By the end of July, as July comes to an end, you will come into your month and season of rest. God rested on the seventh day. You will rest from every adversity. You will rest from every attack of the enemy. Go. From the cycle of disappointment. Come with me, please. Look at this scripture. Look at these scriptures quickly. 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Kings 5 and 4. Quickly, please.
But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side.
May the Lord, by the end of July, give you and this house and our nation rest. Rest on every side. That all these strange fires and wars and pockets of agitations and wars all over this country, that God will give us rest. And we send prayer to Nigeria concerning the month of October, that there will be no unrest in the nation of Nigeria. We send prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus to Liberia as they come to vote in the month of October, that God will cause whoever his choice is to emerge without fight and without shedding of blood. We send prayer to Sierra Leone that there will be peace in the name of the Lord Jesus, that their waters will be still. We send prayer to Burkina Faso and prayers to all our neighbors around us in the name of Jesus. These are days to intercede for humanity. These are days to stand in the gap and to pray for others. Amen. Go ahead, Bishop.
So that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence.
I'm praying that God will give us rest to the point where you don't have any adversaries to fight. You know, an old man, one of my spiritual fathers, Samuel, he said something before he died. He said, young man, all my enemies are dead, and I'm still standing. It is my prayer that all our enemies will go and will still be standing. That a day will come when we will be free here in the land of the living before the coming of the Lord. Free from every adversity, free from misfortune, rest on every side. It's possible. Alexander the Great fought battles, conquered the whole world. And it was said by historians that one day he cried. Alexander the Great said, is there no nation left for me to conquer? And his general said to him, sir, you have conquered every nation, and there is no nation to conquer. And they said he went on his knees and he wept bitterly that he had all this energy and resources and there was no nation to conquer, no enemy to fight. May the Lord bring you to that place. Hallelujah. Two scriptures and we'll pray. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12.
For I know the thoughts that I have, I think toward you, saith the Lord.
I have good thoughts of you, good thoughts.
Thoughts of peace and not of evil.
Not of evil. I haven't planned any evil for you. This is God speaking. God said, I have no evil plans for my children, but someone else has an evil plan for them. My enemy, go ahead.
To give you an expected end.
To give you an expected end. Satan also has an expected end for you and I. He doesn't want us to end well. Go ahead.
Then shall ye call upon me.
Now look at it. God is speaking. He said, I have good thoughts of you. I have good plans for you. I have an expected end for you. But after that, look at what we have to do.
Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you.
You see? He said, after you've heard my plans for you, that I have good thoughts for you. I wish you well. I have good plans for you. He said, after that, you must go into prayer to enforce the manifestation of what I think towards you, that it may come to pass. So it's not automatic. So stop being fooled by this message of grace. I'm reigning in life by the grace of God, and you are going to sleep. Doesn't work that way. My last scripture, Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Verse 3 to 5. I want to show you something. Revelation 8, 3 to 5.
And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense.
Much incense.
That he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar.
With the prayers of all saints. Look at me. There is a prayer bank in heaven. There's no prayer we pray that goes unrewarded. There's a prayer bank in heaven. And when prayers go up, those prayers are kept in the prayer bank. And when occasion demands, the prayers are mixed with mass incense. And they are offered to Elohim. And it goes into the nostrils of Elohim. And the response of those prayers mixed with incense. Look at the manifestations of those things. Look at it.
And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake.
And earthquakes. These are the results of our prayers. And the day is coming. All those prayers you think has gone unanswered will come back in voices, in lightnings, in earthquakes, in thunders to the end. Ladies and gentlemen, your prayers are not in vain. Please stand on your feet.